This is the Thanksgiving service for Claire Salter. The hymn, Beauty for Brokenness, was chosen by Claire because it expresses social work values. On Claire's behalf, I want to thank you all so much for coming today and to thank the many people for their messages of condolence to the family and tributes to Claire. This is a service of thanksgiving and celebration for Claire's life, and I speak for the whole family. Claire was born on a Wednesday on one of the hottest and sunniest days in the summer of 1975. A child full of woe? Never. As I said earlier, I am a firm believer that God wrote the biography of Claire's life long before she was born. She also left this earth on a similar summer's day last month. Concerning her childhood, her dad and I have memories of a young girl playing, laughing, happy as the sky is blue. Despite lots of chest infections, she was very active. She loved spending time with her paternal grandparents and her auntie Pat, and had great holidays at our family caravan with us all. Pat and Pete used to take her out regularly, and these included days at the sea, which again she enjoyed. She also liked visiting her aunt and uncle and her cousins in Belgium. When my brother moved to Dartmouth, family holidays were had there too. My older sister was a great babysitter when Claire was younger. Claire has friendships going back to when she was a baby in the creche at Hook Evangelical Church. She was a pupil at St Mary's Infant and Junior Schools in Long Ditton and still kept in touch with one of her teachers. At 11, she went to the Tiffin Girls' School, and one friend wrote, "I loved her independence and assertiveness, which came on so much from our early days at Tiffin's. When we left at 18, and despite going to different universities, at each juncture of our lives, Claire was there." As a parent, I can only add that I feel her belief in God, her independent nature, indomitable spirit and sheer determination was what made her, against all odds, live so well and so long in terms of her CF. Claire didn't choose to have CF, but she certainly chose how to live with it. In the past few years, and as a result of the friendship formed at Tiffin's, Claire was part of a book club. One friend from this group wrote, "I'm so grateful to have had her in my life. I will miss her warmth, her advice, her laughter, and sense of fun, and I will always treasure her memory." Another who couldn't be here today said, "In book club, it didn't matter if Claire hadn't finished the book. We heard of her funny stories about her dating experiences. She made us laugh a lot, those poor men who didn't meet her high standards." Yet another wrote, "Claire was the common thread that ran through our lives. I have often thought that she was the glue that kept us together through the years. That glue will never dissolve now, even though she isn't with us anymore." From school, Claire went to the University of Kent to read social psychology. She loved her uni experiences. She met many friends and led an active student life, joined her fair share of voluntary organisations, including Amnesty International. One of her passions was being involved with the homeless and helping to run a soup kitchen in the town. One friend said, "She was a bit of a tease, a patient listener. You could drop by hers any time and always be welcome." Another wrote, "I will always remember her smile. In the midst of her obvious suffering, her constant cough, etc., she would look at you and smile." After Canterbury, Claire took a gap year and worked with a local Christian schools work team. This cemented her desire to be a children's social worker, and she went to Reading Uni to do her Master's in Social Work course. One friend said, "It was our first day on the course, and come lunchtime, I was standing alone, knowing no one. Claire came up and asked if we could lunch together. Since then, we have been the closest of friends." Claire returned to live and work in Chessington, first with the Royal Borough of Kingston, then with Surrey Children's Services. With Claire's increasing need for medical equipment at home, plus her collection of shoes and handbags, she upsized and moved house last November to a lovely new estate a mile away in Hinchley Wood. Although Claire only enjoyed her new home for a few months, she loved planning it and living there. One friend who visited said she was an inspiration, her love of life, the things she said, the joy she spread. As a society, we want to emulate the dead, put them on a pedestal, and to some degree we should, but Claire was honest enough for it to be told, warts and all. Those of you that knew her well would recognise this saying, I'm in a mood. She could be really stubborn at times, and nothing and no one could get her to change her mind. She certainly didn't listen to me. One of her close male friends told her once that she was bossy. All I can say is well done for standing up to her. Claire was not known for being on time, was she? We fell out about that many times, but I can only say in her defence that to get ready to go out, even to work, meant a huge investment in time. This became more apparent in the latter months of her life. As said, Claire was fiercely independent. She was very much her own person and made her own decisions. She certainly didn't want me living with her, but I was allowed to stay at various times in her adult years when she needed extra help. As one friend said, she did not let her illness define her. Another spoke of her tenacity. Claire loved life, of that we are certain. She loved people, holidays, the proms, Wimbledon. This love she got from my brother, who was an avid amateur tennis player. Hampton Court Flower Show, the ballet, the theatre, all kinds of pop concerts and the cinema. Claire belonged to lots of groups of friends, many of whom she knew from work, that became not just colleagues but lasting friendships. This also happened with uni friends, both from Kent and Reading. Furthermore, she belonged to what she called the girls' group, who enjoyed evenings out together, one of whom said, "Life will never be the same again." Other close friends wrote, "She was a beautiful and wonderful friend, and she also had a deep faith in God. Her faith, love, and compassion was evident in all she did. Claire didn't choose to have CF, but she certainly chose how to live with it." Additionally, Claire never let CF get in the way of life. She may have had CF, but until recently, CF did not have her. It was with God's help and her sheer willpower that she wanted to live as normal a life as possible. I also know that Claire was a giving person. It's said that we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. Claire always knew her days were numbered, though she did hope she would make it to lung transplant. She had loads of holidays and packed so much into her life. I think her love of travelling stemmed from when she came with her Auntie Pat, her dad and me to America when she was 14. Her holidays were not always indulgent. She loved to see other cultures, and one of her favourite was Vietnam. Another was to visit a friend working with street children in Belém, Brazil. On another holiday, Claire travelled to South Africa to see some friends living there at the time, and diverted to Zambia to see the Victoria Falls on her way home. She was there 2 days and met up with some Canadian travellers who wrote, "It's been 3 years since we met. Special people come into our life for a brief period, but remain in our hearts forever." Indeed, one of her best friends said of her, "There are certain people who touch our lives in a unique way, and having known them, we will never be the same again." However, Claire was far more ill than any of us really knew. She survived swine flu 3 years ago, but she was living on borrowed time. One of the hospital consultants wrote that they didn't know of another CF patient who was still working full-time on such a low lung function as Claire had. Claire loved her job in social work. One of her managers wrote, "She was young, committed, and extremely hard-working. Claire was an excellent social worker and manager. She was very in tune with the needs of children and their families. She could take on the most difficult of parents and achieve a resolution through her empathy, understanding, and skill. Most of all, though, I remember her courage. She would never back down from a difficult task or conversation. She was young, attractive, charming, and great fun to be with. She was such a remarkable young woman. She bore her CF with such resilience and courage. I just want to add my personal tribute to that of all of yours and to say how much Claire was valued as a family member by all her family. I want to thank my sister, who in those last difficult days shared her care with me. I've had the time of my life having Claire as a daughter. I didn't know that having her could make me this happy. She has slowed me down. The roles have been reversed, and she has been my teacher. The people who make a difference in our lives are not the ones with the most credentials, the most money, or the most awards. They are simply the ones who care the most. In closing, for years a picture hung in the Royal Brompton depicting a race. Underneath, the caption read, "The race is not always to the swift, but to those who have the courage to keep on running." Claire certainly did that, and you all stood on the sidelines cheering her on. Thank you.
I'm reading a tribute on behalf of my daughter Joanna and some of Claire's very close friends. It reads, "I feel so privileged to have this opportunity to pay tribute to my best friend Claire, as I knew and loved her. Claire and I were close friends since childhood, from growing up in the same church. My lasting memory of Claire as a child was when I had arranged to play at her house. I turned up to find Claire standing on the pavement, carrying a blue bucket. I peered inside to see a white rabbit peering up at me. How she loved that little rabbit. I always knew Claire was a special person. She loved and cared for her friends and family deeply, and was always so concerned for their well-being before her own. She was always so glamorous and beautiful. How we laughed together, that there was never a mirror or in a shop window which she... No, I'll say it again, sorry. How we laughed together, that there was never a mirror or shop window where she wouldn't look at her reflection. Having said all that, if I looked like Claire, I would want to keep looking at myself too. Claire and I loved our clothes shopping trips together. She knew exactly how to dress for every occasion. We would spend many hours wandering around the shops, stopping to sit down for a coffee break if she got overtired. I often suggested to her that these little breaks were also a rest to her feet, for her feet, due to the 6-inch heels she insisted on wearing. I have many treasured memories of holidays abroad with Claire. She loved the sun and exploring new places. How we laughed on these holidays about the time she would take to get ready to go out, spending what seemed like hours in the bathroom, often flooding the bathroom floor each time she had a shower.
Sorry. During her last day in hospital, Claire spoke fondly of a TV personality that she admired from the programme Made in Chelsea. After much deliberation about this, and to cut a long story short, he came to the hospital to visit her. Just before he was due to arrive, I walked into her room and saw her sitting there with her hair and makeup done perfectly. How I admired her strength and determination despite her being so unwell. A few minutes before he was due to arrive, she asked me to check her breath to see if she needed to clean her teeth. I asked her how close she was intending to get to this young man. Although she was so grateful to me for arranging the visit of this celebrity, it was really Claire that was the celebrity. And I think he realised that too after meeting her.
The last time I saw Claire, we held hands and told each other how much we loved each other.
Little did I know it would be the last time I would see her. But I thank God for that hour I spent with her. Lastly, to Maeve, Claire achieved so much in her life due to the love and support she had constantly from you. You were her rock, and you should be so proud of the person she was. Maeve and Pat, we will be there for you in the coming days, weeks, months and years. I will never forget when I first met Claire at university. It was Freshers' Week and we were at a Christian Union event. She was sitting on my right with her long blonde hair and big smile and was surrounded by almost half of her corridor mates who she had invited along. Two things struck me then about Claire. She was both glamorous and popular. We used to joke with Claire that we never saw her dress down or wear flat shoes, even when we visited a farm with my daughter, Asher. In true Claire fashion, she arrived last year at my birthday meal, having just flown in from a holiday, despite it being delayed, managing to dash through London traffic, get ready, and arriving as the most glamorous of all of us who had just turned up and we were able to walk up to the restaurant. Claire's artistic streak was apparent in her dress sense and her love of interior design. She said if she wasn't a social worker, she would love to be a personal shopper and was often giving hints to take me shopping. I don't have to say how very popular Claire was, nor the fact that she was bridesmaid 11 times and was a godmother. She had both wide and deep friendships. As I got to know Claire at university, the most striking facet of her personality was how much she cared. She really looked out for and reached out to people, taking them under her wing. Claire truly reflected the kindness of God. She was the most dependable of friends, and I can remember going to her college room when I was feeling low, knowing there would be a listening ear, comforting words, and a fridge full of chocolate. Claire was such a loving person, so supportive and trustworthy. She was a keeper of many secrets, I think partly because she allowed you to be vulnerable with her, to share your heart. Nothing could hold Claire back at university. She immersed herself in college life and activities. Despite getting breathless whenever Raining Men, ABBA, or I Will Survive was played, at a party, Claire was the first on the dance floor. She lived life to the full, and as I reread the chapter in the book that she wrote, I realised that over three times she talks about how determined she is to live life to the full. Claire was certainly not a passive observer of life, but an active participant, even to the frustration of family and friends, as we wanted her to have at least one night in. In January, she said to me, "I'm booked up every night for the next month, but I can squeeze you in 2 weeks' time on a Sunday afternoon." Claire was incredibly caring, but she was also amazingly courageous and strong. Beneath her calm spirit was a fighting heart. She fought on a daily basis, even to do the most mundane things. She would occasionally say that getting ready in the mornings with all her medication, physio, and the strength it took was sometimes such hard work. Yet alone holding down a most demanding, responsible job, and then maintaining her super-packed social life. In the chapter that Claire writes, she says, "When I take time off, I feel that cystic fibrosis is winning, and I don't like to be defeated. Daily life could be such a struggle, a battle. Yet I can't remember her moaning about this. She just got on and did it. Never complaining about what she couldn't do. Instead, doing everything that she could. It made me smile when I read in her book about her volunteering at school for the 500 metres, knowing she would come last. She was still went for it and determined to do it. But it was when I went on holiday with her that I was reminded of how much Claire had to go through with all her medication and the limitations of her health. As when I saw her, she looked so well and rarely shared the daily struggle she went through. One of our first of many holidays together was our European interrailing trip in our second year at university, when with Will and Matt we visited 8 countries in 3.5 weeks. Claire's determination enabled her to carry a rucksack for most of the trip despite surviving on a diet of milk and chocolate and McDonald's chips. The trip gave her a real desire to travel and explore. And with her mantra of living life to the full, she crammed in every opportunity to do this. And Claire, a few years ago, when the list was a bit shorter, she said she wanted me to tell everyone at her funeral all the places, all the countries she'd visited. And so, Claire, this is for you. Tasmania, New Zealand, Israel, Turkey, Greece, Brazil, Mexico, the Caribbean, Dubai, the States at least 4 times, Canada, Morocco, Croatia, India, Hungary, Bosnia, interrailing through France, Germany, Italy, Austria, Czech Republic, Holland, Switzerland, Belgium, Thailand, Hong Kong, Vietnam, Australia, Zanzibar, South Africa, Egypt, Paraguay. Argentina, Cyprus, Tunisia, Norway, Sweden, Scotland, Spain, Portugal, Jersey, Northern Ireland, Qatar, Wales, Sri Lanka, Malaysia and Borneo. She got to the orangutans, which she was really keen to do, Malta and Zambia. And Maeve, I want to really pay tribute to you because you were the person behind Claire doing all the practical stuff and organising so that she could live the life that she wanted to live. And, you know, you were the most treasured person to her above anyone else. And I just want to say, I don't want to be standing here reading a tribute to Claire. I wasn't ready to let her go. I so wanted her to experience what it's like to go running up and down stairs, to get up in the mornings and not think about taking medication and doing physio, and to dance without being breathless. And despite the mountains of prayers, especially over the last few months, Claire is now not with us. But as Claire wrote in this chapter, when I view this life in the light of eternity, I remember that God has a reason for everything. Although I don't understand it fully now, one day I know I will. And I and we have to trust in God. Claire, in the last few weeks, took great comfort in God's word, and she said to me in our last conversation that she knows that God is a loving God and that she can only depend on him. Claire loved life despite her challenges, and we loved her so much. Our lives have suffered a great loss. The comfort I have now is that when I think of Claire in eternity, I see her running. The sun is shining on her long blonde hair, and she is so happy, and she's so, so free.
Well, thank you to Maeve and to Joe and to Rachel. We're going to stand to sing together now our next song, and this song has been chosen by Claire's dad, John Salter, and he remembers singing this with Claire. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Let's stand to sing. Well, now we have two more tributes. First of all, by Bernie, and then from Helen. But I believe that Val Archer is going to read the tribute on behalf of Helen, and then Val is going to lead us in prayer. Following that, Dave Weimark is going to come and read the scriptures to us.
Good afternoon. Words are so inadequate to express how much Claire meant to me, and to talk about the everlasting impact she has made in people's lives. She was one of a kind. I think what's comforting me today is to know that Claire would have said, Bernie, it will be okay. We'll just have a nice cup of tea and a piece of chocolate after this. I met Claire approximately 13 years ago, when she was a newly qualified social worker in frontline child protection. As a bright, motivated, and conscientious person, she was eager to make a difference in people's lives and the success of her career, irrespective of her health difficulties. It was so evident from the onset that Claire cared deeply for people, make it so easy to connect with her. Throughout her career, she remained committed, dedicated and motivated, and continued to work full time. And she developed into a successful and excellent assistant team manager. She has achieved great successes in her career, receiving compliments from so many: parents, managers, barristers, and a judge. And Claire was quite chuffed about that. For her excellent work she had produced, but she always remained very modest. Unfortunately, some of her hard work was not acknowledged, but it did not hold her back to try and achieve the best outcomes for those she served and for her teams. She was always a pleasure to supervise and was quite persistent when dealing with unjust situations. As Maeve said, she could be stubborn at times. Most of the time, Claire would be one of the last, if not the last person in the office. And as an assistant team manager, she would be one of the few managers who would work late, ensuring that her staff are supported whilst they were dealing with crisis situations. She made colleagues feel supported and valued, always willing to listen and lend a hand, but would also challenge when required in a gentle but firm way. So during this time, Claire became a close friend and a trusted friend as well. We've shared many joyful and sad moments and little adventures too, and we also shared our love for chocolate. These memories have been my comfort during this time. One of the things amongst many I've admired about Claire was her ability not to allow anything to hold her back and to live life to the fullest. I remember Claire joining me and a few friends on a trip to Paris. Whilst exploring the city, most of us were wearing comfortable shoes, but not Claire. As usual, she looked impeccable, wearing a 6-inch heels, hence this. If I fall, please hold on to me. Needless to say, this delayed our exploration slightly. And although she was apologetic for the delay, she reminded us that we were in Paris and she needs to make the most of it. Her love permeated through all she did. She was such a gentle, caring, loving, generous, and encouraging person and friend. Even during her challenging moments, she remained selfless, wanting to support others and putting her needs last. I was always inspired by her character, her love, and her fighting spirit, as she would never give up, always remained faithful. I will never forget our final moment together as I left the hospital room for the last time, shortly before she died. Although she wanted to live, she was also ready to surrender to God. Even during her last days on this earth, she made me and others feel loved and valued and continued to inspire me by her faith. Her last words were also, Bernie, be there for my mum. Although I am comforted by the fact that she is at peace, her loss is indescribable. It's so painful. I would like to read a short poem now, which I think is so applicable. The author remained anonymous. When God saw you getting tired and a cure was not to be, he put his arms around you and whispered, come to me. He didn't like what you went through and he gave you rest. His garden must be beautiful. He only takes the best. And when we saw you sleeping, so peaceful and free from pain, we wouldn't wish you back to suffer that again. Today we say goodbye, and as you take your final rest, that garden must be beautiful because you are one of the best. Today I stand here to say goodbye to my beautiful and precious friend and say thank you to God for putting such a jewel in my life. My deepest sympathy for your loss, Maeve, and the family.
Okay, it's my privilege here this afternoon to read a tribute from Helen, a colleague and friend of Claire's, and she's entitled it, My Dear Friend Claire. So many thoughts come into my head when I think about dear Claire, and I was honoured to be asked to write a tribute. When I think of Claire, I can smile and think of chocolate, glitter, high-heeled shoes, there's a recurring theme in this service, holidays, jewellery, and the wonderful chats we had. I can then cry and think, why isn't she still alive as she loved life so very much? It was so admirable how much fight Claire had in her to live an adventurous an exciting life, and how she lived life to the full. I've known Claire for over 9 years, first as a colleague, then as a friend. Our friendship grew over the years and it became very special indeed. I valued our working relationship, but I treasured our friendship for many reasons. Claire was so dedicated to her work and would always put every child she worked with first and would fight for their rights. She helped children achieve their goals. Talking about goals, I remember a 9-year-old boy we were taking into care, and while we were telling him what was going to happen, he asked if we could play football with him. Well, I don't think Walton Recreation Ground has ever seen anything like it before or since. Claire used her shoes as goalposts at one end and her smart, expensive handbag at the other. And there she was, playing football with this young lad who was just about to be taken into care. Our Claire could turn her head to anything. Another memory I have is of Claire and I in Hawley at 9 o'clock at night, trying to return this 13-year-old to her foster placement. We were in the car and this young girl was on foot. We would spot her and follow her going one way, then she would change direction and give us a slip when she saw us coming. In time, we both gave up and met back at the foster carer's home once she'd been picked up by the police. I've said this to so many people before, but I can say this from the bottom of my heart. Claire, I was very lucky to know you and feel privileged you came into my life. Thank you. As you all know, Claire has a wonderful mom, and I know how much Claire treasured her. Bless you, Maeve. I know that all my work colleagues and all Claire's friends would join me in this tribute, as each and every one of us has a memory of such a wonderful person. I will always hold a very special place for you in my heart, dearest Claire. God bless you. Rest in peace. I will miss you so much. And that's from Helen here. And before we pray together, I just want to share a part of an email that actually Maeve has already quoted a small part from at the crematorium, but it was from one of the senior consultants at the Royal Brompton Hospital. And it just gives us a glimpse into that hospital room that was Maeve and Claire's home for so many weeks of their lives, but especially in those last 8 or 9 weeks. It reads like this. Dear Maeve, I wanted to just let you know how you've been in my thoughts and prayers these past days. It's been an absolute privilege to be involved in looking after Claire and witnessing firsthand her enormous strength and courage. It was also very clear how much your care, support and help kept her not only alive but so well and at work for so long. The strength you gave her was palpable and yet so unassuming, such that we always knew Claire had her life and her independence as a result of the special way in which you supported her unconditionally. I am not sure I can ever find words to tell you just how much we gained by being involved in the care of such special people as you and Claire. We will always remember Claire as the lass who taught us so much. You will remain in my thoughts, and the memory of Claire and the lovely way she organised me, and this is a senior consultant at the Brompton, will remain very special indeed. Well, with those tributes and memories in our minds, will you join me now, please, as we pray? Let's pray. Almighty God and loving Heavenly Father, you alone are the God of all compassion, comfort, and mercy, to whom we turn in this day of grief and sadness. We are so grateful that your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, not only showed himself as God who weeps with those who weep, but as a God who has conquered the grave and who in the gospel calls out, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And we want to thank you so much, Heavenly Father, today for the precious gift of Claire. We thank you for the love and the joy that she brought into the lives, not only of her family, but of each one of us here today. Into the lives of her friends, whom she loved so faithfully. And those of her work colleagues, who she valued so highly. We thank you that she touched deeply the lives of her Christian family at Hook Evangelical Church by her example of joyful patience and for the way they loved her and prayed for her so very, very earnestly. And for the inspiration and example she was to so many of us in her brief life. And we thank you especially that it was knowing her Saviour and her Lord that enabled Claire to be that woman of courage, compassion and cheerfulness that she was, not least in the way she resolutely bore those countless episodes of extreme weakness and suffering. And because of her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and her Saviour, and the hope held out for us in the gospel, we thank you that, though parted from us at present, Claire is at home with the Lord she loved and served so faithfully. And we can anticipate with joy the new life and the new body promised to all of those who are in Christ on the day of his return. We thank you that his return will see an end to all tears, all suffering, all loss, all parting. And we pray that the hope of joyful reunion will cheer our sad hearts today and in the coming months. And Father, because you are the true and ultimate source of comfort, we pray that you will be particularly close to our dear Maeve on this sad day. Oh, how we thank you for the skill and the expertise and the health and the strength you gave her to live a life of sacrificial and unstinting care of the one she loved so deeply. A truly beloved, devoted mother and friend. And Father, we pray for John and for Mrs. Salter in the loss of a daughter and a granddaughter. Will you not bless those who seek to support and comfort them at this time? And for Auntie Pat, for Shirley and Keith, as they mourn the loss of an oh so special niece, and as they continue to support and love and care for Maeve in these coming days. And in a day when death is so close to each one of us, we know that Claire would point all of us here today to look to you alone for the hope and the comfort and the salvation that we all need. For you alone are the author of life who sovereignly orders the day of our birth and the hour of our passing. You are the one who sustained Claire these 36 years and granted her salvation. You are the one who holds our very next breath in your hands and who grants eternal life for all those who would believe in you. We pray these things, Heavenly Father, asking the help of the Holy Spirit for our future days of deep loss and sadness. In the precious and strong name of Jesus and the sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life, which he alone gives his people. Amen.
We've heard that word, resurrection, already mentioned a number of times this afternoon. And our Bible reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 35 to 58. And it's a passage really all about resurrection. And it's about that firm and certain hope that we've heard about in prayers, and we heard about this afternoon at the committal service as well. And it really tells us that because the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead, we too can have a hope of eternal life. Because death was not the end for Jesus, death is not the end for Claire either. And that is a reason why we can come and give thanksgiving to God. And we're going to read some verses now from 1 Corinthians 15 that explains a little bit about what that is like. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and star differs from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth, and as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen.
Thank you, Dave, for reading the scriptures and for others taking part as well. Falls to me, really, just to bring together some of the themes that have already been sown amongst us this afternoon. And again, I'm amazed about how many people there are here to give thanks for Claire's life. From that scripture reading that Dave just gave us from 1 Corinthians 15, I want to choose two themes: chocolate and high heels. I wish. that love to speak a message. Sounds interesting, chocolate and high heels. But it's not that. It's this: embrace life and expect glory. We spoke about this the other Sunday morning at Hook, the first Sunday that we were without Claire. Embrace life and expect glory. Claire did both. She certainly embraced life, and we've been mentioning that lots of times. Indeed, I've been ticking off some of these things that I've got down here, the things that Claire loved in life. The scripture ended there in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, by saying this: always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Claire's life was not in vain. Claire's life counted. And the scripture assures us that all that we do in this life matters, that life counts, that we count, that you count. And Claire embraced life as much as she could and did as much as she could and did so many things for so many people, and each one of those things counted. I'd listed down 8 things that Claire loved in life. Quickly, because you've heard them all already here. People. Claire loved people. Always asking after people. Brian mentioned in the service just now that if you were asked to ask Claire, how are you, she'd give a quick reply and then say, how are you? And then she'd always be asking about other people. When I went to see her, she'd often ask, well, who's going out with who then? She loved people. She would visit people. She would visit you though you were 100 miles away or even halfway round the world. Mileage was no barrier to Claire. And she stayed in touch with people because she cared for you. Second, Claire loved chocolate. We said that already. Chocolate oranges, I'm told, in particular. And one of her friends wrote, there was so much chocolate in her fridge, I'm not sure what else she actually lived on. Third, she loved going to different places, and we've had her itinerary given to us. What a long list of places. As Brian mentioned earlier, have medication, we'll travel. Fourth, she loved having fun and enjoying herself. She loved to laugh, to giggle about many things, and to laugh about herself as well. She liked those trashy TV soaps, ER, Made in Chelsea. I'm told that when Friends was at its heyday, she would swoon over Joey frequently. I take her in a Hello or an OK magazine if I saw her in hospital, only to realize that already her dad or someone else had brought in a magazine to her to read. Her room was full of them. She liked the entertainment shows, The X Factor, Strictly Come Dancing. Now, I will never, ever be able to watch Strictly Come Dancing again without remembering Claire, because she would text me whenever Ola Jordan came on there. Calm down, Paul. Calm down. You'll be okay. And so Rosemary and I would text her back when all her fancy men came on there, and it seemed ever such a lot of them would come on there. She loved her boy bands. She loved football, but then I realized actually it was footballers that she loved. Her discos, her dancing, it's been mentioned how she could sing out loud, I will survive. New Year parties, Christmas Eves, birthdays, all special to her. Indeed, I'm told that New Year, Claire would always be popping to several parties so as to fit in all her friends. And her birthdays were always special, celebrated as if they were her last, and she always wanted as many people as possible to be there. She loved fun, she loved enjoying herself, she loved laughing, and she could laugh. And I'm told, though I never heard this one, she had a dirty laugh at times. She loved to look good. We said about her handbags and her glad rags, her shoes and her wardrobe. The economy is in trouble. It's going to be in more trouble now that Claire's gone. She loved to dress nicely. She loved to look pretty. And why not? In a day and age when so many people don't care how they look, then Claire is an example of looking good, even though you can feel rotten on the inside. One occasion, arranged to meet Claire to speak about something or other. And I said, I want to meet you at 1:40 on Tuesday at the Cap in Hand, which is a local pub up the road here. She was puzzled as to the particular timing. 1:40 on a Tuesday. Why? Because, I said, the Tuesday service, which is a church service that we have at Hook, not exclusively, but mainly for retired people, many of those would drive past or walk past the Cap in Hand at 1:40 on a Tuesday. And I just want to get their tongues wagging. But I'm going into the pub with a beautiful blonde. Claire thought that was great fun. She said, oh, yes, of course, I'll be there. And she dressed up the nines for it. She loved fun. She loved people. She loved her work. We've mentioned that already, because it helped people. She studied so hard to qualify as a social worker, rising high to her place in the team, struggling to get into work, even though at times she was so ill. She had a real sense of responsibility and commitment to her team and those she cared for. Listen to some notes I made in my diary in 2008, 4 years ago, just as an example about her commitment to work. 30th of March, 2008, Claire admitted to hospital with a chest infection. The 2nd of April, a very bad chest infection. Claire's lung function is down to 20%. She is on IV and oral antibiotics. She has to stay in hospital for 10 days. She's unhappy with this. But she's unhappy with this because her work has an Ofsted while she's in hospital. She feels awkward. She wants to be there. She has a responsibility. 5 days later, though they told her that she's going to stay in for 10 days, 7th of April, Claire discharged from hospital. 9th of April, 7 days afterwards, Claire going to try half a day at work on Friday. Listen to that. Admitted to hospital on the 30th of March, told that she had a lung function down to 20% on the 2nd of April, 7 days later, going back to work, even though 7 days earlier, her lung function was 20%. That is commitment. That is an example to follow. Seventh, she loved children. She loved young people. She had great concern for their well-being, for their future, what they would do with their lives. There's mention about the RBK schools work, the Good News Bus, the youth work at Hook. Several people have actually emailed saying that they can, Claire always seemed to be their youth leader. From Spectrum to Impact, leading youth work on many occasions, fun to work with, and ever ready to meet with young people one-to-one for coffee, to chat about life, the universe, and everything. Seven things Claire loved there. There is an eighth as well. And that's her Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe that it was because of her faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and not just because of her determined personality, that she was the person that she was. She really wanted to live life to the full. And Jesus said, I have come to bring life, and life in abundance. And Claire had life in abundance. Even though she fought her CF, overcoming infections and illnesses regularly, trying to get out of hospital as quick as she possibly could, to live life to the full. A recurring theme in emails I've received and things that have been said today is this. Claire is an inspiration to us all. An inspirational woman. And we were so used to seeing Claire get better and survive against all the odds over the years that we thought this time too she would get better and be out of hospital. Sadly, not so. But she made the absolute most of the years that God gave her. She knew she had one life, and she lived it to the full, doing nothing in vain. Hence her smile, her bravery, her inspiration all counted, because nothing that she did was in vain in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is not just about going to be with Jesus when we die. Christianity is about living for the Lord fully now. And Claire had an amazingly wonderful life because she lived it for the Lord Jesus Christ. One life. But one life is not enough. You see stickers sometimes, especially on the back of Land Rovers for some reasons. One life. One life. But one life is not enough. I want more than one life. Claire wanted more than one life. She embraced the life that she had, but she expected the glory of another life, a second life, a life lived with the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Christian hope is really quite amazing. The Christian hope is for the resurrection of our body, reunited with our sinless souls and living in the presence of God forever and ever and ever. Not in some kind of fairy tale they all lived happily ever after, but in reality, a new heavens and a new earth. Now that might be hard for us to get our head around, this resurrection thing that's been mentioned quite a lot this afternoon and the passage that Dave read to us. But the Christian hope is not just that Jesus rose from the dead. The Christian hope is that Jesus rose from the dead, and those who love Jesus will also rise from the dead. Now, you might have heard ever so often, especially at Easter time, that Jesus is risen again. That is accounted for by historians. And there's not enough time to go into all the convincing proofs that Jesus gave to the fact that he was alive. He rose again on the third day. It's a matter of first importance. He died according to the scriptures. He was buried and he's risen again. And in his resurrection body, he was able to do limitless things, overcoming any kind of dimensions that we know. Yes, we believe because the scriptures tell us that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. But it's not full stop. Jesus said, because I live, you also will live. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, so Christ will be made alive, each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits being risen, and then those who belong to him also risen when he comes back. So here's this mammoth, massive, gigantic Christian hope. Jesus lives, and because he lives, those who love him will also live. That's why we're going on so much in these two services about the resurrection. Because it's not just one life. There is one life here on earth, but there is an endless life in the new heavens and the new earth. In a resurrection body. Our Saviour's body was amazing after his resurrection. And we read that the body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable, it is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power, it's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. Now, can you imagine what that body, that resurrection body, will be like? A body that shines in splendor. On the Friday that Claire died, Ruth Field, also who suffers from CF, wrote the following in her blog. She said, today I learned of the death of a friend with cystic fibrosis. I didn't know her very well, but I knew enough to be amazed at her life, at her hope, and at her joy. She fought for over 30 years. She ran the race and crossed the finish line into the arms of the Savior she loved. She will have a new body one day, a body made perfect, a body with lungs that can breathe long, deep breaths, and a body with energy enough to run marathons. We believe in what we might call resurrectionally modified bodies. And that's what those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ will one day get, a body that will shine with splendor. And think, if Claire looked so good this side of heaven, then she would totally take our breath away the next side. And Claire is now in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, awaiting that resurrection body that Jesus will freely give her. But she knew how much it cost him to give her that body. For what is needed for death to be conquered? It's more than just a command. At the creation of the world, God spoke, and it was. He commanded, and it came to be, and things sprang into life and existence. For there was nothing, and God had nothing to fight against. But to overcome death, how can someone overcome death? The only way that anyone can overcome death is to go through that death and out the other side. To die on our behalf and to actually dismantle death, taking the sting out of death and the victory from the grave. And this is just what Jesus Christ has done. When he died upon the cross, he died to take away our sin and to bring us peace with God, which is an amazing thing. And then when he died, he went right through death, taking away death's victory and giving his victory to those who love him. And he did this at great cost to himself. And he loved Claire so much that he was willing to lay down his life for her. Jesus said, "Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." And at last, the last enemy has been destroyed, because Jesus lives. And because Jesus lives, Claire lives, and all who trust him live. So where is Claire now? We're speaking of her in the present tense, because she lives. Not now in her full resurrection body. That will come at the last day, for there will be a last day. But now Claire is waiting for that resurrection body, her sinless soul and a perfect body. When she lived on earth, Claire attended many weddings. She would attend them all, entering into the joy of the happy couple on their wedding day. We're told that she was bridesmaid 11 times. At every wedding, every time she was a bridesmaid, she would secretly long that one day it would be her turn. Well, now Claire is with the man who loved her so much that he died for her, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And Claire is extremely happy with him, and she will live with him in glory, world without end. Having dared the adventure of this life, Claire is now in the paradise with Christ, enjoying more than our eyes have ever seen, or our ears have ever heard, or the imagination that's ever entered into our hearts. Claire waits for the resurrection morning, when she will shine in stunning beauty because of what Jesus has done for her. So we give thanks to God for Claire's life, and we'll go on missing her. We'll miss her texts, we'll miss her Facebook, we'll miss her chats, we'll miss her calls, we will miss her presence. But every time you miss Claire, hear her whisper as she looks you full in the face, as she always did, looking a person full in their face with her encouraging smile and her playful spirit, and that sparkle in her eye, saying to you, "Life is an adventure. Dare it. Embrace life. Expect glory. Go on." Let's be quiet before we sing our final hymn.